Blog Talk Radio.
All right, family. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, and welcome back. Welcome to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, Georgia. Today, family, is the 23rd of August, 2018. We're coming back with part 7 of Increased Knowledge. Today, we're going to be talking about the gathering back to Christ. That is what is written in our KJV Bibles. So we're going to go and get some understanding about this gathering back. Many are waiting for things to happen and to be gathered back physically. And the Bible clearly states that flesh and blood will not enter into this kingdom. And the Father told us, the kingdom cometh without observation. So what is all this about? What is this about with the increased knowledge? Well, we're going to go into that today. And prayerfully, you'll get some understanding of what the scripture is speaking of. So before we get started, let's just raise our hand and thank our Heavenly Father for the understanding. We thank you, Father. We give you all praise, Father, that we are made one. Father, give us the increase. Pour out the increase for those who have an ear to hear. Let your kingdom be built upon this earth, Father, by your vessels. Let the Spirit flow. Give them an increase. Give them more understanding. Father, we pray for all the saints, all those that you have called before the foundation of the earth. And Father, we ask that you allow me to be that vessel which is used to be a light to the Gentiles, where as I speak, your Spirit flows through and they get the increase. Father, we give you all thanks and praise in Yahushua's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. All right, family, we're getting ready to get started back into increased knowledge. Now, I do have a little bit more time today because I did pay for full feature, but we're going to probably just take about an hour of this. So let's get back into the Word. Off reading, and I kind of didn't feel right about where I got cut off, so I'm going to rephrase this and read these scriptures and then get into what is all this about, because we were told that we were going to have a decrease of knowledge. We gave that understanding where that decrease came, and that came in the very beginning by spiritual sin separating us from our Father. We saw that happening again and again when we go through the book of Judges, when we go through the book of Kings, even when we go to the New Covenant, that Israel, upon this spiritual sin, they were separated, not hearing from the Father. They became known when they got scattered as Gentiles spiritually. Not that they're truly Gentiles, but they were scattered in the aisles of the Gentiles amongst the other people that didn't have the Spirit that came from above. So let's get into this. In Amos 8, verses 11 and 14, I read to you, and they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Father, and they shall not find it. When we take that back to Daniel 12 and 4, it reads, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So two things are simultaneously and spiritually happening during this time period. Some's going to get the word, some will not get the word when this famine takes place, when the people become Gentiles. Okay? We can read that when they do wake up, when they do wake up, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and many of them that sleep, well, you're not physically just sleeping, okay? And that means that your eyes have been shut. You have been put into confusion. You don't know what you're hearing. You can't decipher the Father's word when he speaks to you. Many of them that are going to fall asleep in the dust of the earth shall awaken. Now, this is your dry bones. Okay, this is the dry bones that we read about, okay, in Ezekiel. But when they wake up, here's what's going to happen. Some are going to wake up to everlasting life. And then you're going to have some to shame and everlasting contempt. So he has a honor, he has a vessel of honor, and he has a vessel of dishonor. His word says it. The book is talking about his people. You got to understand what's going on in the scripture. So when you got this simultaneous act of people either waking up to honor what you see happening today, it is nothing new beneath the sun. It happened many times in the scripture, and at the very end, when Yahushua resurrected and came back by spirit, the comforter, and he's dwelling with us, now you're seeing the separation of the sheep from the goat, the wheat from the tare, the righteous from the unrighteous. Now at this time, just as before, I'm going to take you guys to Genesis 11 really quick. This is when the Father scattered us and we were Gentiles. And you got to know what you're reading. A lot of people don't like to go to these scriptures who say the Father sent them to give you a word, but you better go read what the Father's word does say. In Genesis chapter 11, this is what is going on in the earth today. Genesis 11, it reads, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, just like you hear today, family. Ain't nothing new beneath the sun. Everybody is teaching and speaking. We're all one. The scripture is about everybody. God loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. So everybody through Christianity or through any man-made religion, they can come into being the Father's people." But that's not what it says. It says the whole earth was of one language and one speech. "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower.'" Now, I'm going to stop there for a second because Yahushua said he will throw down. We read this in the prior lessons where when he was talking about this temple and the building of the temple that the disciples were showing him, he said, "Not one stone will be left upon another." So they're trying to build something that they cannot build. The wicked, and we've all been with underneath the prince of the power of the air that works through the children of disobedience. So now as we listen to man, whereas we should be listening to the Father by reading his word with understanding, we should be hearing from him. Our spirit should be in alignment with what his word says. But many people want to go on to their own thoughts and get mad at the righteous when they bring about this truth. It's nothing new here, nothing new, okay? So these people during this time, just as today, said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth." Okay, this scattered. When they get scattered, remember what happens. The Father's not with them. They cannot hear. Remember, Abraham was the first to come out of Babel, out of confusion. But let's read a little bit further. It says, "And the Father came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Father said, 'Behold, the people is one.'" They're all on the same accord. Remember, when we go to Ephesians, we can read how we were all underneath the prince of the power of the air. Okay? He's telling us to come out of Babylon, come out of confusion. Turn to me, a woman compassed on a man, meaning the people turn now back to the Father and get out of this foolishness. Anything dealing with the flesh, because Satan, this is his kingdom, kingdom of flesh. When Adam and Eve were told to put the coats of skin and come into this dimension known as the flesh dimension, they, through their flesh, Satan was able to attack them. You got to guard your mind. Put on that helmet of salvation. Know the truth. Okay, so let's keep reading. So it said, the Father said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Father scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off from building the city. Therefore, this is the name of it because, wait a minute, I'm sorry, family. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Father did confound their languages, their language of all the earth. And from thence did the Father scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there. I don't have to go any further with the reading, but if you keep going down, it's going to give you the name of all the righteous. And when you get to that name of the righteous, you're going to find that the first to come out of Babel was Abraham. They call him Abram. He was the first to come out of confusion. Okay, so now you see how this thing works. Error, when they're sinning, our people sin many different ways. We sinned in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. We were told put the coats of skin on us and thrown out into this dimension known as flesh, whereby Satan, if you're not keeping your full armor on and be in obedience with the Father's word, Satan will distort the truth and you will believe a lie. He wants to keep you in the flesh. That's his job, to keep you in the flesh. If he can keep you in the flesh, that's against what Yahushua said. He said, take off the old man. Take off that coat of skin. Now start flowing in the spirit. So, just as before, when the Father scattered us among the Gentiles, we can read about that in Genesis 11, and again, when he scattered us at the siege of Jerusalem, and he wept because he said, not one stone will be left upon another. He was planning on scattering us. This is when we are all Gentiles, or shall I say, dry bones. All dry bones. Ezekiel looked around and saw all the people had dry bones. So he had to breathe the Spirit, the Father's word, the Spirit, into those bones, and they can stand up and be that mighty army. Right now, that process is taking place simultaneously with others who will not stand up, who will not stay founded on the Father's truth, who will stay right where they are. They will not be able to hear. So during the scattering, these scatterings, we went into confusion. That's mystery Babylon, and lost our way because we could not hear. When you get scattered, you cannot hear, okay? That's all we're talking about here. We now understand what is simultaneously taking place, family, in the world. We got certain people can hear. Certain people, they don't hear a thing. Certain people can read the scripture and tell you the law is spiritual, but then take you back to the law of Moses. Some people will tell you that we are in a spiritual war, but then they will go back and put you under generational curses, which is under Moses' law, when the scripture says that we are no longer under generational curses. Some people will take you to the scripture and pervert Genesis 1 and 2 and say, just like the movie The Bible, we see this is how Adam came to be, but he puts you, that one man, and they combined it with Genesis chapter 1 to say it was day 6. And nobody knows that, no, there was something separate on a Shabbat day, specifically designed so the Father's Spirit can enter in. When you read in Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. That means those spirits came from above. They came from the Father. But nobody's picking up on this. There is something that cuts the sword, which is the Spirit. It separates the Father's righteous from the unrighteous. That's what's taking place right here. So, only those who flow by the Spirit will hear. Okay? The Word says it. Now, let's go a little further. I'm going to take you guys to 2 Thessalonians. Okay? 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. Okay? And you will read within these scriptures, the unrighteous, basically they're damned according to the word and have received strong delusions, okay? But you're also going to hear about something else that takes place, because we will get gathered back to our Father. And people are waiting because they're reading the Revelation thinking that he's going to bust in the clouds with thousands of his saints, or, you know, this army. And they're waiting for something futuristic to happen that is happening already. So when you get to 2 Thessalonians, I want to take you guys there. I actually have two versions of it. I have the English Standard Version as well as the KJV. I'm going to read both of them partially because I like the way they say it better. You can really get it. But when we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, it reads, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming," and I'm going to read just like it is, okay? I'm going to read just like the word says so you can really get it. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him," to the precept for this, because I don't think everybody gets what's going on. Another way to read it, too, I should tell you, just so you know, because some people may get it better this way when I read it. I don't know. Let me go and read it to you, taken out of the English Standard Version of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him." So when does this take place? Because some people are looking for things to happen in Revelations like it's something that we're waiting to see happen. No, 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 no. The scripture, according to Paul, he said, concerning the coming of Yahushua and us being gathered to him. That's what this part in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is about. So we're going to go and look, when did that happen? All we got to do is go to Ephesians 1. I'm going to be reading verses, and you can write them down. You can go ahead and read the whole thing, but these are the shorter verses I want to give just to get the understanding. In Ephesians 1, I'm going to jump from verse 10, verse 13, verse 17 and 18, and then verses 20, 21, 22, and 23. You'll get it, because we need to know concerning his coming back and concerning us being gathered to him. When you go to Ephesians 1, verse 10 reads, "That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Yahushua," in Christ, "both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." So this is the gathering that has to take place. This is going to take place. It has taken place. But if you're looking for something in the, you got those people who talk about the flyaway doctrine or the, the rapture, because they're reading this, but with no understanding, no spiritual insight. They don't realize that he has already come. Christianity will not teach you that he has already come. But the scripture proclaims it in the word if you understand spiritually. So in Ephesians 1 verse 10 it says that in this dispensation of the fullness of times, Yahushua might gather together in one all things, or Yahuwah might gather together in all things in Yahushua. So this is the gathering, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even to him. I'm going to read a little further so you can understand what the heaven and earth is talking about. Ephesians 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the set-apart spirit of promise." So when he gathers all things in one, gathered when you hear the word, okay? This is the hearing of the word. At this point, you're sealed. You are sealed. You know, some people got the mark of the beast. Other people got the mark of the Most High. When you begin to hear the truth, hear the word, when the Spirit speaks to you expressly, deciphering that word that says woman, and they read, oh, a physical woman, you read, oh, that's the assembly, that's the church, that's the people. You've been sealed. You can understand these things now. So you go a little further, and I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. It says, that the Father, or that Yahuwah, which is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read the words like they are in there so you can really get it. That the God of your, read like it is, I keep wanting to switch over. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So, when you hear by the Spirit, when he gathers you to him by the Spirit, you will be able to, when you hear, you will be able to show wisdom. That's a better way of saying it. Spiritual wisdom and spiritual revelation in the knowledge of Yahushua. When you go to Revelation, he said that book is about him. John was giving you the understanding of what he accomplished. So now at this point, you're starting to hear, understand. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. When you go down to verses 20 and 23 of Ephesians 1, it reads, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we see that there are no four powers of authority. There's only God, Jesus the mediator, and men, which are the people, because he is head over all. There is nothing new here. You read about Deborah, where she was under Yahushua. They don't even mention how she was under her husband, but people will throw that at you because their job is to keep you in the flesh. We're going to get to that part in a second. Don't worry, we're going to get to that. But it's understanding that when he raised Yahushua from the dead, at this point, he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all the principalities and power, because he dethroned them. He took away their ability to work on us, because when his flesh, when he walked in the flesh and his flesh was nailed to the tree, we're supposed to not look at the flesh being nailed on the tree. We know it happened, but we're supposed to look into things we can't see, which is the spiritual ascension of Yahushua that he overcame. The flesh wants to keep you, family, focusing on that cross and how he died on a cross. That's their goal. We can go to Romans 7:4, and I don't know what version this is in, but it reads, through Christ's body you also died, as far as the law is concerned. Okay, this was the law of, this was, okay, let me read it again. Through Christ's body, you also died, as far as the law is concerned, so that you may belong to another, the one who was raised from the dead, and may bear fruits for God. So this is, are no longer under a physical law, but the law is spiritual, and love is the whole of the law. We are under the law of the Spirit. We have taken on the new covenant. We have ascended with him, or we have overcame with him, just like he overcame the world. We overcome the world because we're not focused on the flesh, that dead flesh hanging on our tree. People put up crosses and all this stuff and statues and what Jesus looked like, and we don't focus on that. Our battle is not a physical battle. It's a carnal battle. when you keep your mind in the flesh, you can't focus on those things which are not seen, which are spiritual, which are of our Father. It says our Father is a spirit. The true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There's no two ways about it. You must. So we do not focus on the things seen, but those unseen things. And that's our understanding. It's a spiritual message. Okay, so that is the gathering back to Yahushua that is spoken about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to go there, and we're going to continue reading on and getting more understanding. Paul tells us, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of Yahushua and by our being gathered unto him." We know this happened. Okay? We know this has happened. Now, I'm going to read the rest of this in the ESV because I think it'll make much more sense to you. Okay. It's titled, "The Man of Lawlessness." Now, remember, he's a law to himself. The Father says they cannot receive his law because they have a law of their own. They cannot understand his law because his law makes no sense to them. His word makes no sense to them. When we talk spiritual things, they go back to the flesh. So this one is lawless. He's lawless because he is not keeping the Father's spiritual law, but the flesh law of Moses. And nothing was wrong with that law because the Father gave it to Moses, but now he did something better to where what kept us from keeping the law is that the law was weak because of the flesh. So now we know there's only one person who works through the flesh. That's Satan. So this lawlessness, this lawless one, this is Satan, the spirit of Satan working through the children of disobedience. So let's read. I hope y'all keeping along and I hope y'all following. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 13 reads, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seen to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." Concerning the concern was, when is he coming? Now, this is what you see today. Yahushua, to give you this message, I hope you're hearing the message. He says, now concerning the coming of Yahushua and us being gathered back together to him, that's the concern he had. He said, don't be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or by word, or a letter seeming, it appears that it came from us, which means you're reading out of the book. So some of people are going to be shaken by this word. They're waiting for stuff. They go, it's not what was intended for you to receive. And he tells you, all of what I'm speaking of is to the effect that the day of the Father has come. So the second coming. Don't be alarmed by what you read. Don't be shaken. Seemingly, they're reading from a letter that came from us, is what he's saying. Let no one deceive you in any way. And he's going to tell you what to wait for. For the day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction or the son of perdition, and the word son means children, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of the Father. I'm going to stop there. We're talking about the spirit that now works through the children of disobedience. They receive, by reading the word, a different message. Not what the apostles truly intended for them to receive, but they're getting shaken up because they're worried about, oh, World War III, America's Babylon, oh, the rapture, oh, the New World Order, oh, the second coming. They're worried about all these things, but they haven't received by spirit the truth. But he tells you that day is not going to come unless the rebellion comes first. The rebellion did come first, because if the rebellion did not come first, Yahushua would have never been crucified. But today the same things happen. The man of sin has to be revealed. The man of sin will come first forward and speak to you. And then the Spirit of the Most High will overcome and destroy that lie. Because we're under confusion. We heard from the man of sin for the longest. But when it was time for the dry bones to get up and the Father's Spirit came upon us again, we start understanding, deciphering truth from lie. You see? It says that this man of lawlessness, he's going to be revealed through what? Well, the sons of destruction, the children of perdition. Now, this spirit who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that we had a lesson, what, two back or so, I don't remember which one, but listen to the lessons in order. I told you, remember when Yahushua, Jesus, said, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're sitting in Moses' seat. Moses' seat was the law seat, the law-giving seat. Yahushua later told you of these same scribes and Pharisees who were sitting in Moses' seat, how they were hypocrites. John the Baptist called many of them dens of vipers. Yahushua said, if we were back in the days of our fathers, we wouldn't have done that. Yahushua said, ye are the children of them who have killed the prophets. When the Father's prophet, the one that he sends, comes to many of the people, they reject that one because their eyes have been blinded. They have not taken off the flesh and flowed through the Spirit. So Satan got them. They got strong delusions. We're going to read about this. But the children of the Most High, they hear his voice. When I speak his word, your spirit aligns with the spirit the Father has given me to decipher the truth from the lies, and you understand it. Other people will say, that don't make no sense. You're too spiritual. Blah, 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 whatever, whatever. No, 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 baby. Right now, many have allowed this spirit, known as the lawless one, known as the spirit of destruction, known as Satan, to take his residence and seat himself in the temple of the Most High, which is your vessel, your body. That's the Father's. Our bodies are not our own. They're for our Father. But others have allowed a spirit, a different spirit, to reside right there, proclaiming himself to be God. They are taking the Father's word, giving you a different understanding, and allowing that spirit that flows in them to make men gods. To make, when you make a man God, all you're doing is you're going away from the truth of the Father. You're perverting that word. You've said that the Father's word, we can read it, the law is spiritual, but yet you go to the law of Moses. You're keeping everything in the flesh. So you're exalting yourself over what Jesus or Yahushua did. Paul says, verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Remember, he told you that there are many antichrists, even now. These are the children of perdition. They allow Satan to sit in their temple, and they pervert the word to you. So we're supposed to discern. If it isn't lining up with the Father's truth, it's not truth. I don't care how many lessons they produce. I don't care how they flow all over the world, setting up sites and setting up little places for study and proclaiming they love the Father and whatever they do. You will find out why they do those things. And the Father's going to let you know in a little bit. Let's keep reading. So it says, do you not remember, verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things. And you know now what is restraining him now so that he may be revealed in this time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It happened during Yahushua's time. It happened every single time. There's nothing new. You're never going to find, well, this is a new situation. The only new situation is Yahushua, death, burial, and resurrection. So where we cannot sin by the flesh, that's what Satan worked through, because we have a spiritual covenant. The sin we commit is not accepting the Spirit. That's the unforgivable sin, so that we can get and keep a hearing from the Father. When we hear the word being spoken, and it's written right in the book, now our spirits come with the Father's Spirit, and we're in alignment. We get the truth. We get the understanding. So he says, for the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restraineth it will do so until he is taken out the way. So they can be stuck in this position with this lawless one until they are removed. And then the lawless one will be revealed. It says, when he is revealed, when you hear these things, when you see these things taking place, who's going to reveal them? Well, the Father. Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. Now, the breath of his mouth. You remember, when we became Gentiles into confusion, we couldn't hear. But when the breath came back to the people, Satan's lies were destroyed. He didn't have that power over you to deceive you. You can now hear the truth from the lies. So it says, this lawless one will be revealed when Yahushua will reappear, and he will kill the lawless one with the breath, with the word, and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan. So the lawless one and the coming of the lawless one is because of that spirit known as Satan, his activities. With all power and false signs and wonders. So many people will believe this lie, because they love not the truth. We're going to read this. Now I'm going to go back to the KJV because I like the way the rest is written in KJV. So I'm going to pick back up at verse 8 in the KJV. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Father shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When the Spirit came back to us, we can read about that in Acts. Remember, I think it's Acts chapter 2, when all the people in the upper room got the Spirit. We had that lesson. Okay, we had that lesson. Go back to our, I'm going to try to link all these extra lessons I'm speaking about in case you don't know where to find them. I'm going to try to link them within the description of this show, because look like I've spread myself over 3 or 4 sites here. But I finally got back in today, family, so we should have all our lessons here. But I'm going to link them up so that you can go back to understanding what took place already. And I believe I titled those lessons The Second Coming, okay, to give you an understanding when did it occur. So it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they may be saved. For this cause, the Father shall send these people strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. They're going to believe that the scriptures, when you read man and woman in the Bible, it's talking about a man and a woman. They're going to believe the lie that we all are the same people, that Jesus died for everybody. They're going to believe that lie. They're going to believe the lie that, well, Yahushua's birth was in Genesis 6, where an angel came and impregnated a woman. They're going to believe the lie that those flying beings that, you know, you see them in these videos on YouTube, you hear about the UFOs, the aliens, are they going to believe that lie? They're going to believe those lies. They're going to believe the lie that, oh, she a woman. Go to Revelations. Oh, it says you suffered that woman to teach. Now, that's a woman teaching. Not that the spirit of Satan, that's what Jezebel had. She didn't have our father's spirit. She had a spirit of Satan. That is what the scriptures are talking about, but they're looking at a physical woman. Oh, you let that woman Jezebel teach. Oh! Hey, family, for this cause, the Father shall send them strong delusions. They should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to our Father for you, brethren, beloved of the Father, because the Father has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Those who refuse the truth will have strong delusions. But those who were from the foundation of the world, already his, but may have slipped into a pit, may have gone astray, the Father will come back for one, because he loved that one so much. Many of our people are still in pits. They're in snares. Nonetheless, they are our people. We're going to receive those back to us. The Father's not going to let one go. But many have been snared. Many have never heard the truth. The Father says, how can the people hear without a preacher? But how can that preacher preach unless he is sent? Not everybody's sent, but you shall know them by their fruit. Good tree cannot produce bad fruit. What is bad in, according to the scripture? Well, anything that works with the prince of the power of the air. Our flesh is in this earth realm. Satan's using that. And that's bad fruit. The works we do are not a physical work like we had to do in the old covenant. It's a spiritual. Two commandments. Know who your Father is, love him, fear him. Worship him, all in spirit. And then the second one is have brotherly love, because love is the whole of the law. It's a spiritual law now. If somebody can keep you doing the works of the flesh, and nobody can keep all the works of the flesh that Moses gave, because first of all, you got to be in the land. They don't even really know where Jerusalem is or the temple is. But the point is, you cannot keep all the laws of Moses now. There's no way. First of all, you'd have to be ordained and know that you're ordained by the Father, not make yourself or proclaim yourself to be ordained to keep all the righteousness that the people during Moses' time did. Nobody can claim that today, but many are trying to. Many have appointed themselves, self-appointed, and many have fallen for it because these read out the same book, that they don't have the spiritual knowledge. When you discern by spirit, not by eyesight. Okay, family, let's go to 1 Timothy 4. It tells us, 1 Timothy 4, now the spirit, and I think this is verse 1, I'm not sure, but I think it's verse 1. Now the spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Read it again. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That means this is the truth of the word. The Spirit is going to tell you what's truth and lies. So it says that in the latter times, this was during Timothy's time in the New Covenant, but the latter times is any time past the time he spoke this, even today. In latter times, some shall depart from the faith.
We believe in Yahushua. Our hope is in Yahushua. We speak to him. We hear from him. But some are going to depart from this faith and believing truth from lies. They're going to give heed to the seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. When you picture in your mind an angel, I know many people still look at the little angels with wings. When they think of seducing spirits and spirits and people, they think of Reagan and the Exorcist, her head spinning around with green pea soup coming out her mouth. They think of what they have only seen. But seducing spirits, this is why you got to have that full helmet of salvation on, because anything against the Father's word is a seducing spirit family, and it's also a doctrine of devils. But who is going to give you that? Many people don't understand what's going on. Who gives you these evil spirits, put these evil spirits on you? Go back to the book of Kings, where King Saul, disobedient to the Father's word, it said that the Father sent evil spirits upon King Saul. If our Father's in control, whether it be good or bad, he is in control. Devils don't make themselves. Satan didn't make himself. All these different spirits did not make themselves. But the Father is in control, and he made the spirits. He's the only one who can send anything at you. Remember in Job? Let's go there. Hold up a second. I want to go there. In Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 12, it reads, "Now there was a day when the sons of the Most High came to present themselves before the Father, and Satan came also among them. And the Father said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered him," here's what he said, "from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Father said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth the Father, and eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Father and said, Job fear the Father for naught? Had not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." So we read right here that Satan is telling the Most High, if you put forth your hand now, if you make these things happen, touch everything that he has, he will curse you. Satan couldn't curse Job unless the Father allowed that. Okay? And the Father said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath in thy power is in thy power. I'm giving it to you. Only upon him," listen, "only thing you cannot do, only upon him put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Most High. You cannot kill him. You can take everything that he has. You can mess with his person. But as far as touching him and killing him, you can't do that. The Father gives this spirit the power to break Job down. Okay? Because he got power over the flesh. The Father allowed that to happen when he put us in this dimension. He uses evil to attack his righteous to get him back on track. Now, I'm going to take you guys somewhere that you might not be aware of. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles 18. And let me look at my time. Prayerfully, I have a little time to talk about this. I got 39 minutes. So we're going to go there. Because once again, we're going to get the understanding. Decrease of knowledge come, and you see people acting really unrighteous. It is like you can't understand why they're reading the book, but they're telling you one thing, but they're doing something totally opposite of what they just read. Why, when they read the book, they keep it in the physical? Why is it that the scripture just told us in 1 Timothy 4, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to these seducing spirits and the doctrines of devil. Why? Well, you better know who's in control. When I take you guys to Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles 18. We're going to read of a story just as such, where we're going to see something happen. Maybe you've never heard this before. Maybe you've never read it, but we're going to go there. Everybody, open up your scriptures. Give me a second to make mine just a little bit larger so I can read this. Okay, when you go to 2 Chronicles 18, we're going to read a story about Jehoshaphat and Ahab. You're going to see this particular thing happening right here where the Father sends spirits out on people. And he'll tell you what those spirits are to do. Now, we just read about people in latter time, they're going to give heed to these seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils. Well, go to 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1. Let's read. Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joint affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. Now, we're going to find out that Jehoshaphat was pleasing to the Father. We know about Ahab. Ahab was not pleasing to the Father. Okay, he had a different spirit. So after he persuaded him to go up to Ramoth-Gilead, verse 3, and Ahab, king of Israel, this is Samaria, this is the northern kingdom. Ahab, king of Israel, he said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Another way to say that would be king of the northern kingdom. So you got the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, right? Jehoshaphat was from the southern kingdom, Judah. Ahab was from the northern kingdom, Samaria, okay? Or Israel, that's another way of saying it when you read the scriptures. So it says, Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Father today. So before we go to do this battle, let's ask our Father about this battle. Now, after Jehoshaphat want to inquire of the Father, which is what we're supposed to do, verse 5, therefore the king of Israel, this is Ahab, gathered together of prophets 400 men and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? Now, these 400 prophets of Samaria, and all you got to do is go back to the book of Kings and understand what the king of Samaria, or the northern king, this would be Jeroboam, he raised up the most debased of men to make them priests. So what do you think you're going to find in Samaria? Remember, the scripture says Ephraim has gone into idolatry. Ephraim would be the northern kingdom, which is Samaria, which is Israel, according to the scriptures. So these 400 unrighteous prophets, when they were asked by the king of Israel, by Ahab, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? The 400 prophets said, go up, for God will deliver it unto the king's hand. So they're making a proclamation that the Father has told them, go to battle. The war is won. The Father gave it to you. That's what the 400 prophets of Samaria, the northern kingdom, Israel, Ephraim, that's what they proclaimed. That was under the wicked Ahab. So, in verse 6, it says, but Jehoshaphat said, this is the righteous king, Is there not here a prophet of the fathers besides, that we might inquire of him? So Jehoshaphat is looking at these 400 unrighteous prophets from this unrighteous king that's in the northern kingdom called Israel, called Samaria. He said, wait a minute. I heard what they said, but is there not a prophet here? Because these are not the prophets from the Most High, but is there not one righteous that we may inquire of him, that we may ask him? So Jehoshaphat is telling King Ahab, I heard what they said, but do you not have a prophet of the Most High here? Okay, that's what he said to him. Now, verse 7 might shock some people. And the king of Israel, Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Father. So we will stop. Ahab has just acknowledged that when Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Father, he just acknowledged it by saying, there is yet one man. He knew that he had unrighteous prophets speaking from the Father. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, but by whom we may inquire of the Father. But I hate him. I hate him. For he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Don't say that you hate him. Don't say that. The king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Now, guess where you got to fetch him out of, family? You're going to read on where they put him back into. They put him into a jail cell. That's what they put him in. So they had to go fetch him out of a jail cell. The teachers of the Most High today, they try to put us, and I ain't saying in a physical jail cell today, but they're trying to block us and say we're unrighteous and shun us away from you hearing the truth. So it says, the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, set either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in a void place at the entering of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Shinnahan, I can't even put out that word, Shinnahan, had made him horns of iron, and he said, thus said the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hand of the king. So they're all proclaiming that, yeah, you're supposed to go up to battle, and with these horns that I've made, you're going to push them, and you're going to be winning this battle because the Father said so. That's what they're saying, family. So, verse 12, and the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him. Here's what the messenger of Ahab, who went to fetch Micaiah, the only prophet that could hear from the Father, here's what he says to him. Behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Thy words, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. What he's basically telling them is, we don't want to hear from the Father. We've already determined what will be for the king. Now you tell the king exactly what we want you to tell him. Now keep in mind, the king knew he didn't have a prophet that heard from the Father, so he's in wrong too. The 400 prophets are all in wrong. We got a bunch of wrong people here. But they're trying to tell Micaiah to speak the same thing as they did. Verse 13, and Micaiah said, as the Father liveth, even what my father saideth, that will I speak. And when he had come to the king, and the king said unto him, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Now, Micaiah is being kind of funny, he said. I'm going to read it how it should be read. So here's what Micaiah says. Go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hands. Because remember, the guard had already, the messenger who came to get Micaiah and told him, behold, the words of the prophet declare good to the king we want to send. Let thy words, therefore, be like theirs, and speak good to the king. So he was already kind of like threatened, this is what you're to say. So when he comes up to speak to the king after he said, shall we go up to battle or shall we forbear? Micaiah says, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. Now pay attention to what Ahab says. And Ahab said to him, says to Micaiah, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? Then he said, here's the truth, because Micaiah knew he was speaking just like his prophets. So he knew that wasn't the truth, family. He knew that wasn't the truth. But he asked, speak to me the truth concerning the Father. What did he tell you? Verse 16, then Micaiah said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Father said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. What he's telling you is battle that they were getting. Now, we can take it to what we're learning today by the scattering. But in this particular scripture, what he's saying is, when I looked, I saw all the people, but the king wasn't there. The master, the one who was supposed to be leading my flock. There was no king, meaning Ahab was going to die. Okay, not the people, but Ahab. So all the sheep were to return back in peace. Verse 17, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? And again he said, therefore hear the word of the Father. Micaiah is going to let him know something else. He's going to go spiritual on you. Pay attention to what he says. I saw the Father sitting upon his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. Right and left hand, family, do symbolize good and evil, okay? We can read that about the separation of the sheep, the wheat and the tare and all this. But let's just keep going on with what's being said here. So he's seeing all the spirits, all the hosts of heaven, all the spirits standing on the right hand and on the left hand as the Father sits on his throne. And the Father said, to these spirits, he's saying, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel? The Most High, the Father, he is asking these spirits who are standing on his left hand and on his right, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. So they're deciding who's going to say something to Ahab, who's going to convince Ahab to go up to battle. Came out a spirit and stood before the Father and said, I will entice him. And the Father said unto him, wherewith, or how will you entice him? Verse 21, this spirit says, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. So we see that Micaiah had this dream, this vision. He sees the Most High sitting on his throne, and on the left and right, all the hosts of heaven, which are the spirits, right there. The Most High said, who will go down and give Ahab a word to where he go out to battle? Because the whole plot was, those who will not live by the word of the Father will die by the word. The Father will speak life into you or speak death unto you. Right here, the Father has called for a spirit to come forth and to make Ahab go out to battle. Here's how he does it. When this spirit came out and stood before the Father, here's what it said. I will entice him. I will deceive him. I will give him the understanding. And the Father said unto the spirit, how are you going to do it? The spirit says, I will go out and I'm going to be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Father said, thou shalt entice them, also prevail. You're going to make it happen. Go out and do even so. So the Father is sending this evil spirit now to talk through the prophets. Now, and remember, these prophets were not righteous from the beginning. We're talking about Samaria here. Just as Ahab wasn't righteous, although he was the king, he was not hearing from the Father. He had a prophet who heard from the Father but refused that prophet. So the Father is going to allow a lying spirit now to convince him to go out to battle. So we read, verse 22, the Father told the Spirit to prevail. So verse 22, now therefore, behold, the Father had put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Father has spoken evil against thee. This is what Micaiah told him. This is what I saw. This is what is going to happen to you. This is what these men are telling you, these four prophets, 400 prophets. They're telling you what I just told you I saw. So it says in verse 23, after Micaiah spoke this word from the Most High, then Zedekiah, the son of Shenana, came near, and he smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the spirit out of the Father from me to speak unto thee? Family, I could take you back to when Paul said the same thing. Paul said the same thing when he said that our Father is not the Father of confusion. He read some letters, they're called epistles, how it says the woman should keep silent in the church and ask her husband at home. Later, Paul says, what? Came the Spirit from the Father to you? I know he came to me. That's the same thing. That's the same thing. I'm going to put that particular passage, I'll put in my show notes. But y'all know what I'm talking about. So after Zedekiah smoked Micaiah on the cheek, he said, which way went the Spirit of the Most High from me to speak unto thee? So he's trying to say, you ain't hearing from the Most High, I am. Same thing Paul was telling the people in the New Covenant. I'm reading this letter, but our Father's not the Father of confusion. I know the Father's speaking to me, but who say he's speaking with you guys, you know? So right here we read, Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Then the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Armon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus said the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace. So he's going to believe, Ahab is going to believe his lying prophets, just like the Most High said would happen. And Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Father spoken by me. And he said, hearken, all ye people, pay attention to what's going on. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, and I will go to the battle. But put thou on thy robes. King of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. Now the king of Syria, and what it is, family, they had, if you didn't get it, King Ahab put on common clothes, whereas King Jehoshaphat had royalty clothes on. So pay attention to what happens. It gets good. So it says, now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. So don't worry about anybody but the king of Israel. Now remember, the king of Israel had taken off his royal apparel and put on common clothes like the rest of the army. So he's trying to disguise himself. But the king said, only the king of Israel is who I want. So 31, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed about to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out. He cried out to the Father, help me. And the Father moved them to depart from him. So he had on the royal clothing, and they thought it was the king of Israel, because everybody else had common clothes on. But the Jehoshaphat called out to the Father, and the Father was that defender of Jehoshaphat, the righteous one. And he made those who were getting ready to attack him and kill him, depart. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived, they understood, they knew that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. They were pursuing Jehoshaphat family. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his harness. Therefore he said to his chariot men, turn thy hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day. Howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening. And about that time of the sun going down, he died. Family, the father, his will be done. What's most important is you got to understand that when these strong delusions come by Satan to people, the father is the one calling it out, just like he called it out to Job. Hey, have you considered my servant Job? The father says, I create good, I create evil. He allows evil when he wants it to serve his purpose. Just like when he said the creations in Genesis 1, it was good, it was to serve his purpose. This earth realm, it was to serve his purpose. The Genesis 6 creation of male and female, it was good to serve his purpose. He said, he is the creator. I create good, I create the evil. I allow all these things to happen because I'm in charge. Ain't nobody in charge but me. Some of these vessels being created offer honor, some offer destruction. So he allows spirits working in vessels, just like we saw with the 400 prophets. This lying spirit came out and spoke a lie and told it to Jehoshaphat because the whole plan was Jehoshaphat had to die. We know later on that the prophets died too, but right now, that's what you should be getting out of this. So when the Father talks about you love not the truth, we just read it in 2 Thessalonians, you know, we just read it. The Father going to send you strong delusions. When we can read the Word by the Spirit and giving you the precepts by the Word. He came. He's dwelling in us. It's by His Spirit. He said, don't think that I have come to bring peace. I've come to bring the sword. This is a separation. The sword is the Word, which is the Spirit. Spirit that will divide his children from Satan's. Family, I'm not going to go any further. Enough has been said. We have, according to this, 15 minutes left. I'm not going to take them. Family, go through every single lesson that we've had. Prayerfully, when I have the next lesson, you will, your minds will be much more in tune with what the scripture is saying. Because we got to get a complete renewing of the mind, the physical body, and the spirit. Pray for me. I'll be praying for you until we meet again, probably tomorrow. Hey, I say Shabbat Shalom.